ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to another Adventures in Truth livecast. My name is Jim Case, and I'm really excited to be here today, as with every day, but today is particularly special. I have an amazing guest with us today. Shelly Kerr is with us. I'm not sure if she goes by Dr. Shelly or Shelly Kerr PhD, but whatever way you look at it, a woman who has, that she's called the Past Life Lady. And she has an enormous breadth of work, lots of books and publications and lots of experience out there. I'll get into her bio in a few minutes, but she's joining us to have an incredible conversation about the past is built into your present on purpose. And so we're going to be looking at generational influences and past life energies and DNA. And what does all that have to do with our process of evolution, our process of growth and transformation, and how they can indelibly impact the process of our growth, actually. So I'm really looking forward to this conversation. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. She has an incredible depth of knowledge, and she has a new book out, so we're going to talk about that as well. So welcome to the show. And again, if you like the show, as we start off here, please make sure you subscribe or like. You can share the live wherever you are, and you can share the show with everybody that's listening. We're also on YouTube, running live, and we're on E360 TV, which is a great network, and I'm happy to be on it. So welcome to the show. I'm excited to get started, and we'll be back right after this. I have the hardest time, I find, because I try to do this without my glasses, and I can't see. And I keep trying to see, but I still have trouble with that sometimes. But anyway, so here I want to talk for just a minute about my book, Fear is a Choice. Fear is a Choice is an amazing book that is about changing your relationship with fear. And what I can tell you from my experience with the book and with people who have read the book, it's a powerful impact because it helps you to understand the evolution of fear, not only in your personal experience, but how it's used in the context of your life and living in the world and understanding that we are inundated on a regular basis and that the things that we hold as fear are really just programmed ideas that don't need to be there anymore. And so when you begin to see that relationship and understand that relationship, it changes everything because you're now no longer a reactive being. You're a responsive being, because even when you experience fear, it doesn't cause a clamping and a shutdown. It causes awareness. So www.fearsachoicebook.com, please check it out. I think it's pretty extraordinary, and you can find it on all the major book places, Barnes & Noble and Amazon Kindle. I think you'll find it's pretty awesome. So check that out, and we'll be right back. All right. Thank you very much again. And here we are. My World is Good. I'd like to take a minute to talk about the year of conscious creation. I believe, and I've decided that this is a year of conscious creation for me and my world and what it is I'm doing in the world. And what I mean by that is we started with fear as a choice, understanding that our relationship with fear changes everything. And when we change that relationship with fear, we become more conscious and more present in our experience. And so I thought, with all of that's been going on in our world, why not focus us on this idea of conscious creation as opposed to unconscious creation, which is where we spend, and many of us spend, way too much time. So the year of conscious creation is about us choosing to put an energy into the mass consciousness, into the field that is around our planet, to say we want to add something that's positive. We want to add something that's moving people in a direction that they begin to see how powerfully you do create, consciously or unconsciously. So My World is Good is all about that. My World is Good is this just a neutral positive statement that I want you to add to your world. Because see, I see us as 7.5 billion unique worlds inhabiting one planet. And the reason I say unique worlds is because each of us has, each of us is our own creator, meaning no one can live your life for you. No one can create your life for you. No one can change your life for you, but you. So if we shift to this idea of conscious creation, if we get into this movement of my world is good, remember that perception is just a reflection of our beliefs back to us. So what we're perceiving in the world is how we are feeling about ourselves in the world. So adding this statement, my world is good, my world is good, my world is good, begins to generate this incredible energy within our world. And then as each of us bring that energy together, it creates a unity. And that unity then begins to move an energy forward and creates momentum. And that momentum is what creates a tipping point where we bring that goodness back into the field. We bring that clarity of goodness back into the universal field. And then we start to see it reflected in our perception. Pretty cool stuff. My World is Good. It doesn't require your email. It doesn't require your money. It doesn't require anything other than your intention, your focus, and your attention. My world is good. Say it often. Feel it, speak it, and then feel it some more. And do that as often as you think about it. And so join the movement. There's nowhere to go. Just pick it up, share it, use the hashtag all over the place. Let everybody know that your world is good. Not from a perspective of look at me, but from the perspective of I'm creating momentum in my world because my world is good. My world is good. Awesome stuff. Right on the other side, we're going to get to meet Shelley. So we'll be back in just a second. Oh my goodness, all the bells and whistles. And hi, Miss Shelley, how are you?
Jim, you're wonderful. I love your show. It's so cool. And let me say, I love Fear as a Choice. I read this book. It's amazing. And you're bringing up all the points that people need to know. And yeah, guess what? What? Hashtag my world is good. Thank you very much. Right? I mean, exactly. Why do we need to struggle? Signed up for that? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I guess in the beginning we all did until we figured out we didn't need to.
There it is.
Let me take a moment here. I want to let everyone know who this amazing human being is that is on my screen with me.
Likewise.
I'm taking this right off the website because it's easy. For 2 decades, Shelley Carrot, PhD. So do you prefer Dr. Shelley? Do you prefer
Shelley?
Shelley is good.
Shelley, yeah.
Okay. Has worked with thousands of people around the world, helping them achieve greater peace and happiness in their lives. She's a world-renowned past life regressionist. Dr. Shelley's method of combining energy work with hypnosis has been endorsed by numerous leaders in the field of consciousness, including near-death experience pioneer Dr. Raymond Moody and Dr. Brian Weiss, who called her book Lifestream an important contribution to the field of regressive therapy. World traveler and popular guest speaker, Dr. Carrot developed several healing techniques. Edgar Cayce's Egyptian Healing, which is a book. Pythagorean Healing, which is that also a book? All of those.
It's a book and a class. Yeah,
a book and a class. And she's trained thousands of energy healing practitioners during the year. So she's been on all kinds of programs. She's got tons of books. She's got a online class too, right? Not a class, but a, what is it?
It's an school, online
school. Healing arts school. Yeah.
Thanks to 2020. Yes, I put everything online. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
So. I do. So this topic, I thought it would be kind of fun. So as I was contemplating all the work that you do and the things that I've been observing and what I've been experiencing in my life. So the past is built into your present on purpose. And it's a play on words, really, because there's so much now that we understand more than we ever have as far as parallel lifetimes and parallel universes and multidimensionality and all that kind of stuff. So I would love for you, if you wouldn't mind, to kind of bring us in on this idea of how we can start to look at these things, these generational influences, these past lives, you know, that the things that we appear to experience as the past really aren't the past, but they are things that we need to attend to. And because we live in a time and space reality, it appears in a timeline, but may not actually be. So what are you thinking on that?
So many things, Jim. I mean, yes, you know, quantum physicists are now really helping us to prove that these strange inklings and feelings that we're having are coming from something real. You know, there is no actual thing as time because all time is happening right now. But because we are in this third dimension, you know, we have to agree on things somehow. So we tend to see time as some kind of a linear thing. And that's really how I do past life regressions, is having people imagine they're traveling down into a past. But the truth is those pasts and those futures and those possible realities are actually existing all at once. And so it's just a matter of the person going, you know, and observing different things. One of the things I found over the years, though, you know, is, again, this is supported by physics, is that anytime you look at something from a new perspective, you totally change the energy. Mm-hmm. So if I look at the palm of my hand and then I turn it over and look at the top of my hand, I've just changed an event. And I think this is why doing different kinds of guided imagery processes by going into this supposed past or wherever it is we need to go, whether it's down generational lines, which is what mm-hmm. my latest book's about, you're getting a bird's eye view and you're perceiving things differently. And that just that perceiving of it can sometimes release the energetic component that's causing dis-ease or emotional discomfort within the body, helping us let go of, hello, fear, which is a choice. It is a choice if we know that, right? We're learning, like you said earlier, we're all learning. I mean, believe me, mm-hmm. I've fallen down so many times. You just fall down, just get back up. And eventually you go, you know what? Maybe there's a better way to do this stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And so, yes, it's all happening now and it's so cool. And we're able to have these discussions just to bring this to people's awareness. I think it can make a huge impact on life so that we can know that, life is good. Thank you. I love it.
Agreed. It's kind of extraordinary. I've had numerous experiences through my life with past life experiences. And I want to talk about, now we've kind of jumped off here. What I want to do is on the other side of the break, we're going to do a quick meditation, but I want to talk about sort of at the beginning stages, because as I recall in my own experience that there were, the way that I understood that something else was going on was that I think if I was remembering originally, I think the first time I really experienced it was a reaction I was having to another human that I had no business having reaction to. Meaning we had no history or there was no reason for the intensity of my response to everything they were doing. It led to a confusing thing for a little bit because I was having those overlays kind of, I'm calling it overlay. I don't know what the right word is, but that experience of something had happened that wasn't current in this reality. And I couldn't figure out what that, I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. So we're going to dive into that a little bit. I want to get into how you kind of can identify some of those things when they show up, that they're obvious in that, to me, that if everything in your world is doing pretty good and you're having an unnecessary response, there's a chance that that might have something to do with an energy you're holding on to generationally or past life or something to that effect. So just food for thought as we go into this. I'm going to put you in the green room for a minute. We'll be right back and we'll carry on this amazing conversation. So glad you're here, Shelley. Thank you. And we'll be right back with that.
Thank you, Jim.
All right, guys. Just real quick, we're going to take a moment to focus. This for me is a powerful time. Twofold, as I was telling Shelley earlier, I believe in putting my money where my mouth is. But more importantly, I believe that when we come together, whether it's across this venue or whether in a room together, it doesn't matter. But where we come together energetically, we have a profound impact. And so I like to bring us in touch with this moment to get us present here and now, so that as Shelley and I dive into this, we are creating a greater space for more understanding for more people in more places. So I want you to just take a moment, take a deep breath. We're going to focus all the breath in through the nose and out through the mouth. So I want you to just take a deep breath right now and become fully present in this moment right here, right now in your body. Whether you're sitting or standing or laying down or cooking breakfast, or if you're driving, don't close your eyes, but otherwise you can let yourself go into a quiet space and let the breath move in through the nose and out through the mouth. And I want you to become, as you're in this breathing pattern, feel yourself settling, feel the body sort of settling into place. And I want you to become aware of your field. I want you to become aware of the energy that surrounds you and is you. Just become aware of this massive, incredible field of energy that is all you. And as you're breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth, I want you to become aware of that field and just let your body move a little bit. Feel your way around in it a little bit, but keep the eyes closed and begin to explore, right? And what you'll begin to notice is that we attend to a lot of things in our field, right? And it can be any number of things. Sometimes it's outside, it's just a car passing or a dog noise or an air conditioner. Or maybe we're reliving a fight with a spouse, or maybe we're struggling with something at work, or maybe we're having money issues, or maybe we're having animal issues. There's so many things that we attend to just through our five senses. But imagine all that we attend to energetically, because wherever we direct focus, we attract attention, right? So be aware of all the ways that your energy is being consumed by the things in your field. This is how it occurs for us. And there are things in our field that take up large chunks of energy that, you know, you can sort of see them as density in your field. And I just want you to be aware of them, because what I want you to do now is, as you have that focus, as you're breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth, focus yourself into the center of your heart. And I want you to consciously command your field. Bring your field into your body. I want you to consciously command your field into your body, letting all of those outside influences go for now. If they're important, they'll be there when you come back. When you release your energy, they'll be there if they're necessary. But otherwise, just pull that energy into your heart space, right into your body. Feel the warmth and tingling and expansion that feels as you pull that energy in. And I want you to do this because I want you to become aware of the inside of your body. I want you to get in touch with the internal experience that's not just an emotional thing. I want you to feel around. Let that consciousness roam around in your head. Go around through your brain and through the back of your eyes and down through your neck, feeling all of that tissue, all the tendons and muscles and blood vessels. And as you trace in your brain, as you experience your brain, trace around to the back, connect to where the brain and the spinal cord come together. Connect through that. Go down your spine. Feel the fluid that's encasing that spine and feel the nerves and experience all of that as you go down in that incredible spine that is protecting that central core. And let that consciousness roam around the inside of your torso. Have a relationship with your organs. Feel them, experience them. If as you're doing that and you notice something, put it in your awareness, something that you may need to attend to. But just let that consciousness flow. Let it fill out your entire internal body. Feeling all of it, all of the muscles and tendons, all of the blood vessels, all of the nerves. Just be aware. And if there is a spot that feels in some discomfort, just focus there for a minute. Focus that breath into it and expand it. And now I want to just take a quick moment here. And we're going to focus in the breath, inhaling to a count of four, holding, and then exhaling to a count of six, and then holding. So we focus in as we inhale through the nose, two, three, four. We're full at the top. You're holding that fullness. You're expanding into it. And then you purge, release, two from the mouth, four, five, six, and then sit in the emptiness for just a moment. Sit in that space for just a moment. And then consciously engage the lungs as you inhale, filling completely, two, three, four, feeling that fullness, relaxing the shoulders, feeling rich and full, and then consciously choosing to purge all of that energy. Two, three, four, five, six. Good. Releasing to the deepest point as you sit in that void now, that emptiness, just as important as the fullness. Feel that emptiness. It's radical. It's amazing. As you engage the lungs again, inhaling, two, three, four, feeling full and amazing, and then releasing and purging from the mouth. Two, three, four, five, six. As you rest in the void, I want you to carry on this rhythm on your own for a few cycles. Using the breath. Breath is life force. Breath is chi. Breath is prana. Breath is the energy that animates all of what we are. Feel that breath as you fill up and feel it move into every aspect of your being, and then release it all because you want to purge that energy, consciously surrendering, letting all of the old energy and air out of the deepest parts of the lungs so that you bring in new, fresh, vital energy with the new breath. And as you continue this last cycle, I want you to take these words in and just let them wash over you. I am the evolution of God realized as matter. I inform and guide that expression as the pure expression of God. I show up as God. I connect as God. I align as God. I am creation realized. And from that, I create, I expand, I engage. I am. And just feel into that for a moment. And as you do, as you're focused into the heart, just now allow your field to begin to expand back out into the world, gently allowing that field to move back into its natural splendor in that expanded space as we bring Shelley back into the space. And bringing us fully present into now as we dive into this powerful conversation.
I better make sure my glasses are still on.
Hey, make sure I'm still here.
Thank you, Jim. I needed that. Oh,
pleasure. Absolutely.
Oh, I was thinking about your glasses comment at the beginning of the show. Yeah, I need them too, because you never know when you need to see, you know.
And I thought I got glasses that were non-reflective, and I found out that that wasn't true. So
thank you, Jim. I'm just stretching, and I just love it. Thank you.
Good. All right. So here we go. So let's dive in here. So we were talking before about a little bit about how to, and maybe we're getting ahead of the game. Maybe we'll save that for a little later as far as how people can become aware. Let's just dive into these influences. I would love to start with the DNA. I had an experience a while back. Actually, in part with just as a part of the unfolding of writing this book, actually, because it became part of another book about that I'm working on about changing our perspective of how we hold the ego. But the DNA to me seems to be this place where all we are, all we've ever been, all we ever will be seems to reside in this thing. And I started thinking, I wonder if this is actually the spark of the divine, the spark of the universe that ignites each of us. But it is the story of us. It's the thing that gives all the detail to what we do. I'm curious your thoughts on that and what your experience is of that in your own work.
Yeah, I think that you're definitely onto it. I agree. It's got to be the spark of divinity within us. And as you've said, it is all of who we are. And I think that I think we may have a very limited perspective of who we actually are when we're housed in these physical shells. The new book that I have, I'm talking about the ancestors, and real scientists, Jim, are now saying that, believe it or not, 50% of your personality is actually brought through your DNA from your ancestors. And so when we're saying, who am I, right? And what am I trying
wait,
to
wait, can you repeat that? Because that just like made my brain
it's
go.
Yeah. Believe me, it knocked me out of my chair when I first thought about it. Legit, okay. You know, I'm a philosopher, friends, but I'm talking about real hard scientists are now doing studies to suggest that 50%, half of you, and the way you're acting and behaving, you, me, everybody, all this crazy I got going on over here, is actually brought in from our ancestors. Wow. And so when we're trying to ask ourselves a question, which I feel is a lifelong question, who am I? Why am I here? What is my purpose? Half of these feelings that we're having and the way we're expressing and showing up in the world is actually from our ancestors. So in order to know ourselves, I feel, you know, we do need to dive into that a bit, at least energetically. And explore that area because it's very important. I'm into past lives, yes. So then when I first heard this, I went, oh my gosh, I've spent years trying to clear up all my karma and my past lives. And now what? Yeah. I've got to go help my ancestors too.
I want to ask a question here because it sparks an interesting thought. Because in my own personal experience, I've thought about kind of doing the whole ancestry.com thing, and I've considered it, and the reason I say that is the start of this question is because I don't have a lot of connection to history in my personally. I have not in my life had a lot of interest. I've not had a lot of attention put on, you know, like, I mean, I know much of my extended family, but I don't interact with them now. With Facebook and stuff, it makes it a lot easier because we're in different locations. But I'm curious about that because I also tend to not live in history. When I had cancer in 2009, I never considered myself a cancer person. So once I went through the process of that and I came out the other side, I would watch things on TV and I would see commercials about cancer people and go volunteer to help cancer people. And I'm like, I would never consider myself a cancer person. And I went through the whole process and flash forward to, so history for me doesn't seem to have the same impact in that I don't live there. So do you have any thoughts about that as far as the generational piece doesn't really matter? Because that's the influences are still there. Does the question make sense?
It does. It makes more sense than you can even believe, Jim. Because you and I, you and I have talked before. You and I are on the same page about a lot of things. And I have to tell you that what you've just expressed is something that I've actually thought of myself. Like, I don't want to live in the past either. Mm-hmm. I feel like what you're saying, why you're so much more. I mean, you did survive, okay, but you're so much more than a cancer patient.
Right.
And, you know, aren't you more than that? You're a divine being, you know? And I feel like, some of these groups, I think that they're good. And at the same time, I feel like then people kind of put themselves in a box that's very limiting on some level. I had stage 4 endometriosis and had a lot of challenges medically as well, not to the extent of what you had, but again, do I run around? I don't go to support groups or something like that. I concur with your thoughts on that. And the other thing is, I love to go into past lives, but to go into my current life past, I've done a lot of healing on that. We've all had hard times. You know, I try to let go of that. I moved forward. I don't want to dwell in my current life past. And I also have not been one that has ever really looked into my own ancestry. I've got a couple relatives who are super into it. But now as I've done a lot of deep diving, if you will, into the past lives, I am starting to think, wow, you know, there's something to this. The processes in my book are not about let's go on Ancestry and actually see who these people were, but it's more on an energetic level, just to remember that, like we talked about at the very beginning of the show, that time is illusory. And so therefore I can love my ancestors and send them light and healing energetically. I can go to those events and bring light that energetically affects the family. But I'm like you, I haven't really yet looked into it. I'm thinking more about it though, now that I've really had to come face to face with this big slap in the face that 50% of what I'm doing is really because of them. Maybe it is, maybe I can finally understand why everybody is so obsessed with Ancestry.com, because I'm like you, I just never really understood it before. Yeah,
the history thing. So, to the degree I laughed because it reminded me of a conversation I had the other day with a friend who I have friends who can say, you know, I remember back in April of 1979, it was a Thursday and I did XYZ. I can't remember the chronology of my own life. I have to literally go back and find anchors for things to say, oh, okay, that actually, I remember that date. Now, did the thing that I'm thinking about happen before that or after that? You know, like you say 1978 to me and I go, I was alive then. But
yeah, I agree. I'm the same way.
So
I had to keep a document in my computer, Jim. I call it my life list. And I write it down once I go do some research. And then every year I add on to it so that I can at least have some context. I just don't live in the past either. So I hear you.
So this I'm going to bring us back around here to the DNA is before we move on to the genealogical stuff and the generational stuff. So if we consider that the DNA is really this spark of the divine within us, it is this all that we are thing. And it's layered with, and again, with the generational thing, it begins to add a whole new level of this because all of the codes and the markers and the things are all of those impact points or all of those learning points or belief systems, whatever, that's all tied into this potentiality that exists in the DNA. I find in my, the differences between what my experience was of a past life situation and a generational experience seem to have a very different feel to them. Where like, I think we talked about this a little bit, but my feeling of the past life thing is what I think we talked about before, is it's something going on in my own consciousness that doesn't have any relative apparency in my current reality. I mean, I may be dealing with a human, but my reaction to that human is like off the charts for no reason that's apparent in my current reality. Or I have a situation, a physicality, a situation, a health situation that doesn't relent for any reason that I can think of. And yet when I'm tied to that physical thing, it reminds me of something that doesn't make sense because it's not in my current reality. Where the generational thing seems to be, to me, it seems to be a more of a, as you increase consciousness, you begin to disconnect from the thought processes of the ancestors, meaning those things that were entrained into each generation. And I almost feel like we as currently living on the planet are the leading edge of our soul group, as it were. And we can talk about that more too, because there's a part of me that wonders if some of this connection isn't about all of the soul group and the DNA and the genealogy and that it's this larger, it's just a macro of the micro kind of deal. And I've just like, I think I've laid in about 10 different things that we could probably spend easily an hour on all of them.
So that's why we're friends, Jim, because I love it. When you talk about, like, I do want to speak to your point about you met someone and then you're going off the rails, you don't understand what this is about. I had identified something that I call supretrovi, which is a spontaneous past life memory. And I wrote a short series about it a few years ago, and I've got a longer book coming out later this year. And you are describing what happens to everyone. I truly believe that because of this timelessness that we are living in, that these impulses from the divine and from our own souls, our memories and things are are impacting our consciousness at every moment that we're alive. And most people are not consciously aware that that's even happening yet. So you connect with someone and you're having this reaction to them. You have no idea. You've never seen them before. To me, is coming straight in from what you also brought up, which is soul groups. The longer I'm here on this planet this time, I just start to think, you know what? I don't think as much of what we're doing is accidental at all. I feel like we choose our friends, we choose our families, and we choose certain scenarios because we're here to grow and learn. Yeah. And I definitely believe we're coming back in tribes and soul groups. Some of these friends and supporters and soul groups are supportive. And some of them, you know, I think some of the people who love us the most are probably the people who are pushing our buttons. And who pushes our buttons more than our family, Jim? I don't know.
Is that the truth? I don't know.
And I think that all of this is happening for a reason, for growth.
Good stuff. All right, my dear, we have to take a quick break. We're going to do a quick commercial. When we come back from the commercial, I'm going to turn the show over to Shelly for a few minutes. She's going to get to talk about all of the amazing things that she's doing or whatever it is she wants to, because it's her time to talk about whatever she feels like talking about.
Woo-hoo! I'm already doing that.
I know. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and I'll be right back to carry on from here. We'll be right back. All right, guys, just a quick section here. We're going to do a quick commercial on the Science of Transformation. That is a program that I developed over a decade ago to help you come into the best version of you. This is all tied together in the same experience of changing the relationship with fear, but taking it even further, reframing the experiences that you begin to have as you move forward. Because as a human being, our tendency when we experience new things is to look backwards for understanding. And what the Science of Transformation is about is changing that perception so that when you experience some new expansion in consciousness, that we can then help reframe your focus so that it's moving you forward instead of backwards. So take a look at this, just a little commercial action here to bring that to light. We'll be back.
Science of Transformation method, and I can't tell you the difference that it's made in my life.
This program is all about you coming into the greatest form of you. All right, we are back, and I'm going to turn it over to Shelly. Shelly, the floor is yours, or the studio, whichever way you look at this.
All right. Thank you, Jim. I want to thank you for having me on the show again. Just a quick moment to talk a little bit about how I do my work, how I got into the latest work that I'm doing. So I've been guiding people into past lives for 20 years now. It's been a long time. And so usually clients will come and they have a source event, they have an issue they need to resolve. We try to find the source event of where that issue occurred. Sometimes maybe it was in the Middle Ages, maybe not. Sometimes it was this current life. But sometimes what was happening is the client, I would just sense, wait a minute, there's something that's going on with their parents. So in my latest book, which is called Heal Your Ancestors to Heal Your Life, it's talking about case studies of clients who met with their parents, and then they go down and they float and experience their ancestors who are experiencing usually a trauma. And then we send light and healing to that. And what happens is generationally, which I think Jim and I are getting ready to get back into, that light then moves through time, affects the parent, affects you, And then it affects your children, future generations as well, with the same idea, what we've been talking about. All time is now. Time is an illusion. And I really feel so strongly, as I know Jim does, about the need for healing and the need for conscious awakening at this time is so great. And I do a lot of global healings where we're thinking about, let's heal our neighbors, let's heal other countries, let's heal our friends and all around us and all beings. You know, I want all beings to feel peaceful and lovely. And so I just challenge you viewers to, when you're sending this kind of love and compassion to others, just keep in mind that we all need to put our ancestors on that list too, because that is how you're getting to know yourself as a human being. And really loving yourself more deeply by loving those ancestors, because they are, again, 50% of who we are right now is about our ancestors. So just put them on the list of people who need our love and attention right now. And I just want to thank Jim again for having me on the show.
Oh, it's so great to have you here. I want to put up, I put it up for a second, but I want to put up again. Thank you. Here's the cover for the for your book that's coming out. Actually, it just released, didn't it? Or is it just released?
Yes, it's on Monday. Yeah, just released.
Yes. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And how many is this? This is a lot of books. You have a lot.
I don't know. I just do it. I don't look at the past, Jim.
Yeah, no, I am. And I'll tell you, I've started reading this one, and I read another one that she's writing, and it's amazing because the books are not only well written, but there's lots of examples. There's lots of case studies. So you're getting to see a wide range of experiences from a wide range of people, to see that this is really profound. This is really an really powerful stuff we're talking about here. This is not, you know, one of the challenges that I know I have sometimes in the spiritual community is we go down the past life rabbit hole. And what I mean by that is that place where it's all about the past lives, and we want to find out how famous we were and how powerful we were and not that there's anything wrong with that. But it isn't about being present in your reality now, nor is it necessarily about healing something. And that's where I think the power of the past life and the generational stuff lives, is in its ability to release us from the energies that we brought forward as a result of that experience. And while it's fun sometimes to know the story, that wears off quickly. if you're using it as a purpose of healing. So, all right, as you said, we are moving. Go ahead. You can please.
I just, to what you're saying, you know, one of the things that made the past life regression process very valid for me is that most people are not famous people. They were just regular folks, you know, because that has to be the reality. Yes, occasionally I did regress 5 Cleopatras in Dallas, Texas. Okay, we can go there. Maybe it was an archetype. But again, like you said, it cannot be about the ego. The only reason why you would go into the past is to bring the lessons and the learnings, maybe find gifts and talents or whatever, and bring that into the now. So that is always a part of the process. Why? Okay, so you told your story about the Middle Ages. I'm just making that up. Why does that apply to what we're doing now? And how are we going to enrich our current life experience with that information so we can move more peacefully into our current life, future, and beyond, and be more compassionate towards others. So you're exactly right.
Beautiful. And I like to, I think there's a, and tell me if this is crazy, but I think there's an important distinction that might help people in seeking this understanding or learning from these processes, is you don't have to hunt, meaning something shows up in your world and it leads you to this process because it's something that isn't making sense in your reality, or maybe it is making sense, but it's something that you're like, what is going on right now? I'm having all of this stuff. And then there's a sense of, is this now? This hasn't happened in my life. Why would I be feeling this way? And it begins, that's how it happened for me anyway. But going forward in my own life, I found that there were key moments when it was very powerful, because it's literally just showed up, and I was having a conflict and I was talking to someone, maybe it was a counselor or a therapist or someone who was open to the ideas. And they were like, let's check into something outside of the parameters of this dynamic. Maybe it's something even greater. And invariably it was some kind of an energy or trauma that was able to be released because I was in the moment of my own experience, as opposed to going on a hunting expedition, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
You're bringing up such a valuable point, which is the fact that I think, unfortunately, we are making everything so much more difficult than it has to be. And after myself, thank you, beating myself up over the head for years and years, you know, finally, you finally go, you know what, maybe I just don't have to do it this way. It should always be the easy. It's occurring to me. It's kind of in my awareness now. That must mean something. Okay, great. But it should never be a struggle to try to figure these things out. They're occurring to you for a reason. You're going to gently take a look at it and just know that all things are happening and it's all good. My world is good.
It's good. Amen to that. Okay. So because I know you have a couple examples, can you talk about the generational, do you have some maybe a story that will help people understand what a generational influence is about?
Yeah. So again, most of the clients that I've done this with, they came for past lives. And I'm asking myself, did we get to the source event of the issue they came to address? And if the answer I'm feeling intuitively is no, then we go another route. And so one of my favorite ones, because, you know, we can heal physical things, we can heal spiritual, emotional things with this. But there was a woman who came in because she was having migraines. And this was something that ran in the family. Because, you know, a lot of times little health issues that we have are definitely in our DNA. So we were going to do some healing around that. And at the same time, she was working as a nurse. And I think she loved what she was doing. But I think everybody, if you've done something for a long period of time, you're bound to at some point ask yourselves, you know, is this really what I need to continue to be doing or not? Mm-hmm. And so she was kind of at a little bit of a crossroads, wanted to make sure there wasn't something else she needed to be doing. And in this session, she met with her mother, who had also been a nurse, went and met her grandmother, and they traveled down this one line in the family. And she went to an event and was able to observe her ancestor, grandmother, great, 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 however many greats, who was in the Civil War, tending to people on the battlefield. And these headaches initiated from this battle there. But she saw also, it's very emotional for some when we're seeing our ancestors. She just saw how selflessly she was just tending to these people. And she just came back and she was just in tears. She goes, you know, this is amazing. Because we were able to put some light on the physical reason why she was here. But she said the most important thing that I actually got out of this wasn't that at all. It was the idea that, wait a minute, you know, how could I ever feel like I shouldn't be doing this when I see someone who is so selflessly giving themselves to others? And this is just what we do. And so she said, I will never question that about myself again. And I think that that's one of the biggest challenges that we have in life is, you know, again, why are we here? Let's question everything and make things very difficult, when she was just really already living her purpose. And so it just reaffirmed that. And so it was one of my favorites.
I love that. It sparked in me a question that I would love to throw at you here about this, which is something for the listeners. I'm focused on the migraines, because so many people wander through the world in a physical situation that they just deal with. And it may not, maybe it's not a full blown disease process. Maybe it's not a full debilitating disease process, but it's an ache in the shoulder. It's a headache. It's a knee that won't repair itself. It's a hip that won't come back into alignment. And those things, while they can be, if they're chronic, meaning if they continue on and you've done things and they're not relenting and it's not working, to consider the idea that this is in your field because it's trying to get your attention and you haven't given it the attention it's asking for. So you can take that and say, you know, I've had this lower back thing for 20 years. I can't shake it. I've done everything, physical therapy, yada, yada, yada. Maybe the reason is because it's an energetic thing. It is that generational or past life thing that's trying to get your attention to say, hey, there's something powerful here that you can change. Because the picture I saw when you were talking about your client and seeing her grandmother attending to the nursing, the first picture I heard about the migraines was the sound of the bombs or the sound of the cannons going off. And it was creating dissonance in her head, but she was focused so much on the healing that she wasn't attending to it. And so I don't know that that's real, but that's what struck me. And I thought, wow, we have so many of those little things that could add so much dimension to our lives if we understood why they were there.
Yeah, you know, it was exactly what you were saying. This cannon blast and all this chaos around her, it's putting a little chink in the spiritual armor, you know. And when you were, there's just been so many I've worked with over the years who have migraines. Some of my books on energy healing are about Edgar Cayce, the world's greatest psychic, and he recommended lapis for migraine headaches. And I've seen it work with my clients as well. Cayce was always talking about gem. I wrote some books about the gems and stones and how we can lay them on the body. And the ones that Cayce recommended were exactly to do what you're talking about, which was to kind of shake loose the energetic thought forms that are relating to things that happened from our past lives and kind of help the energy field restore itself with gems and stones. The other thing I want to say is about your beautiful meditation, which I could barely come back from. You know, when you're talking about going inside the body, everybody, I know you're out there. Okay, let's come right in here and let's go cell to cell through the body. A few years ago in 2019, I had the most profound experience. I had the privilege of going to Vipassana, which is it's based on the Buddhist teachings where we basically go into silence for 10 days. And the only instruction is breathing in our nose and tuning inside the body. And you think initially you're going, oh my God, this is going to be really boring, but it's so revealing. And the teacher who taught it was from Myanmar, and he had he was a businessman. He had debilitating migraines. Went to all the specialists. He was a man of prominence. His family had money. So they took him all over the place to India and all over the place. Couldn't get these migraines fixed. But once he started meditating and actually taking the external world and bringing it inside, he never had another migraine again. So when I hear migraines, I always think about him. And I feel like a lot of our problems can be relieved, whether it's through hypnotherapy, whether it's through meditation, like the meditation you did this morning. I mean, it's just about... it's not out there. It's actually inside.
Yes.
You know, and it's not. And again, we want to run away from this sometimes, but it shouldn't be scary. We can come in here and we can learn how to be peaceful inside this body, and we can relieve a lot of the things that are causing us a problem.
Absolutely. I love that. So we have, what do we have? We have about 6 or 7 minutes. And I feel like we've kind of started to flesh this out. And what would you say to people who might want to find out about engaging the transformational potential of understanding past lives and generational things? And what are good indicators, do you think, in your own experience for seeking out that support?
There are a lot of reasons why people seek that kind of information. When I got involved in this myself, you know, it was because I needed something as well. I was introduced into past lives as a kid, but as an adult, one of my friends had passed away and I saw his spirit in a window and I felt like he was following me around. And so someone suggested, well, maybe you need a past life regression. This was after about a decade after his death. I was really struggling with, you know, what if I had done this or what if I had done that? And a lot of grief. And the only thing that ever really helped me, Jim, was the past life regression. Because I went into the past, there he was. He had been in many, many of my lifetimes. Each life showed me a pattern that was being replayed where he had gotten up and left very unexpectedly. And I was left going, was there anything I could have done? And so, again, like I mentioned at the very beginning of the show, it gets into physics. I'm looking at things through these eyes in this perspective, but by seeing it through this different lens, immediately the grief, the struggle, it just fell off. And I said, my God, this is incredible. I need to be doing this for other people. And so I found over the years, grief recovery, maybe you've lost someone. That's a reason. We have gifts and talents. We're trying to remember, but sometimes we can go into these past experiences and remember those. Relationships. Hello. Why do I know these people? Why are they so wonderful or not? you know, health challenges, anything, is usually because, unfortunately, as you know, we don't normally seek things out if everything's wonderful. We just go to the beach and have a margarita and we're not worrying about it. But when things are not going that well, that's usually when people are going to come in. And there's just no limit to the answers to the questions that we can find through these different modalities, at least for myself and my clients.
Yeah. And I'll tell you that in my own, again, from my experience, there's nothing unsafe in it. I mean, finding the right practitioner is important because they have to hold the space for you to feel safe enough to go there. But as far as the experiences are concerned, I've not had any that were anything less than liberating. And even if it's a moment of, I remember being in one situation where I was doing, I'd done a self-immolation deal. And I mean, I could feel it, but I wasn't having trauma from it. I was just experiencing it because that moment was what was fraught with all of the feeling and the emotion, the impact event, as it were, or a potential impact event. I wrote down as you were talking, an important aspect of potentially seeking out this assistance is how long have you been dealing with your discomfort? Because in my mind, I'm thinking there are so many people out there who have chronic pain for no apparent reason that may not have ever considered availing themselves to this possibility when we're all energy. Everything we are is energy. This is all an illusion, as it were. So if that's the case, then of course, if we're dealing with something longstanding, it needs to get our attention in a different way. And I think we get too locked into the medical model of the cause and effect and not the energetic model of cause and effect, which are vastly different.
Absolutely. And yeah, a lot of people who have come to me, I'm the last call, you know, I'm at the end of the line. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of them, let's just say they used to be normal people, Jim. So did I. You know?
That's right.
We were trying to get a job.
I was normal once.
Human being. It just didn't work out. So it's the end of the line. They've tried everything else. And then, yeah, I mean, it worked for me. It's worked for a lot of people.
Yeah, no, that's worked for me as well. It's I think it showed up in at specific junctures. So it was not a kind of thing like for me, like similar to the cancer conversation. I don't tend to go there. And it isn't until I've been so twisted by something for a while that I'm like, why is this not relenting? What am I missing here? And I'll ask universe, help me out here. What's going on that I'm missing that I'm not listening to? And then somebody shows up and says, have you thought about maybe doing a regression on that? Maybe there's something there that you need to pay. And I'm like, oh no, I have thought about that, you know? And always creates a result, always has a positive impact, because whether or not you believe what you see, whether or not you get it, it honestly doesn't matter, because it's going to happen. It's good. You know, the more you can surrender to the process, the greater the release. But if you see it, if you experience it, if you go there, you're there. Whether you honestly believe it or not is of little relevance to your ability to surrender the energy.
Yeah, because the thing is, it doesn't matter like if we really lived in the Middle Ages or not, but there's a story you're telling yourself. And yes. If you can say, okay, why does this story apply to what I'm doing now? And you use it to make sense of the life that you're having right now and let go of the energetic component to some of the stuff that you're struggling with, it makes an impact. And so people don't necessarily have to believe in reincarnation. And then we could get into the whole discussion. Was that an archetype when they were all Cleopatra, or were they really all Cleopatra? You know, that I might say is an archetype. But again, if they think that this is helping them make sense of their current life, then I don't have a problem with it.
Amen. And I would also add to that at the end of it is that just the experience brings you into an awareness of the vastness of who you are in a way that nothing else can. Because, whether you believe it, the fact that you can be taken there and shown, and you can see things that you're seeing with your own internal vision, nobody's planting anything there. You're not being given a framework. The only framework is, let's go find the pain. Where's the pain? And then let it take you there. So all the way around, it's an extraordinary experience and worth the time and effort to experience, because it changes your perception of who and what you really are in a profound way. And I don't mean like you come out and go, oh my God, but you do come out and go, holy crap, what just, wow. And you can sit in that and swim in that for a while. It's an amazing experience. So I'm going to ask you to give us the last thought about this idea of the past being kind of built in into our experience and what we've talked about today. What would you like to say to all those wonderful people out there?
I just want to reiterate something that you've said, which is that, you know, the past is showing up in the present in these thoughts and feelings and nudges that we're getting, because it's part of who we are. And I truly believe that the more we just accept who we are through different tools, through meditation processes and things like that, then we're here to learn who we are, to express our divinity, to learn how to love each other and to move forward in that, so that we can truly make this world the place that we all want to live in and to really experience ourselves and the world more fully. And so no matter what kind of problems and challenges that people have, because we all have them, you know, you can transform these situations and you can make, you know, lemonade out of these lemons and live the life that you truly want, no matter what has happened in the past. And Jim, you're certainly an example of that. And I've got my own stuff. I mean, we all do. So just embrace it and enjoy the journey and let's have a wonderful life.
Amen. I love it. I love it. I love it. The past life or pastlifelady.com. Please avail yourself to Shelley's website and all the amazing things she has to offer. The books are incredible. I think they can offer all kinds of perspective and new understanding that you may be looking for to help you understand you better. So Shelley, again, thank you so much for being here. I love having you here. I love our conversations and the energy we share together, and I hope we get to do more of it. And especially maybe once this whole pandemic-y thing gets done, somewhere along the way, we'll get to actually see each other in physical proximity. Would be awesome.
Yes. That would be wonderful. Jim, you are amazing. I love your book.
Thank you.
People, you need to go get Fear as a Choice. It will change your life. I promise you. I loved it. And I just love the work you're doing. Congratulations. And thank you so much. Let's have this conversation again. It's important what you're doing. Absolutely. God bless.
Absolutely. Thanks, everybody. All right. This is the end of the show for today. Shelley, I'll see you on the other side of the end of the show. I'll be right back. All right, guys. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you very much. We appreciate you being out there, and we will see you again very soon. Have an incredible day. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth Livecast. Please like, subscribe, and share. If you'd like to learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, check it out at www.fearisachoicebook.com. Also check out Moments of Truth, a new offering from Adventures in Truth. If you'd like to work with Jim, check out www.thesciencetransformation.com to book a session. Tune in live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time and every Friday, 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, or look for our new releases and podcasts every Monday. Until next time, be well, and we'll see you again on Adventures in Truth Livecast.